Hi, partner.
Right. I talked with Troy tonight.
Good.
And he said he'd be very much interested in taking a look.
Good.
And I suggested that I'd have Jesse Kellum get in touch with you.
All right, good.
And could somebody down there arrange that?
Jesse's here now, and I'll tell him.
Fine. And I emphasized to him that it was absolutely important that this be kept quiet.
Good.
And I talked with Leonard tonight. Had him come over to the house and talk to him. And told him that I suggested he just select one person and have him take a look at it without any commitment. And I suggested to him it might be well for him to let you know the name of the person before he went ahead.
Good.
He said he'd do that. Now, I also spent about 3 hours with the lawyer for the principal
and
for the other fellow.
Yeah.
And I think that's in pretty good shape.
Right.
And I think that ought to go along all right.
All right.
Did anybody
talk to the colonel or the major?
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that.
Do you think anybody ought to talk to him?
Not yet, because this is just an interview, and I think we ought to see how it goes along.
All right.
Tomorrow. I think it'll go along all right.
He may need some leadership.
Yeah, but the Philadelphia man went to see his spiritual advisor.
Yeah.
And the spiritual advisor advised him the right way.
Yeah.
So, I think we're in good shape.
Yep. Did you read the Herald Tribune, page 5, Jenkins home coming along fine?
No, I didn't see that.
Dom Bonafide, who is their guy that promoted the Bobby Baker story.
Yeah.
Who's their, kind of their Jack Steele or their undercover guy.
Mm-hmm.
Has got a Walters big picture and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 column headline.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Jenkins, former White House aide, who resigned following disclosure he had been arrested twice on Mar-a-Lago charges, has been released from the hospital and is resting at his home here. His wife told the New York Herald Tribune that he's discharged Monday and he's coming along fine. He's resting and renewing his acquaintance with his children and friends and playing cribbage. This is quite unpublicized release was a marked contrast to the furor surrounding his admission for, quote, hypertension and exhaustion. That was the night he quit his White House post. A few hours after the 46-year-old mild-mannered aide and close friend of the president at the hospital is revealed he'd been arrested January, Marles, and October. Ms. Jenkins reported that while her husband had underwent an operation and he's recovering and the family lives in a large, comfortable-looking home in Northwest Washington. Asked about the future, she said, we haven't made any plan. We're paying to be here and we'll see what happens. She did not know whether the family would return to Texas. Hospital spokesman said Mr. Jenkins was admitted when he was exhausted, tired, and he's kept much sedated. As time progressed, he came around. Toward the end, he was about to walk around the halls. The spokesman said that until shortly before his release, visits were limited. Addition is regular physician Thompson, Dr. Mr. Jenkins, was treated by psychiatrist Dr. Yoshio. During his weeks in the hospital, scores of Jenkins friends stood by him and reportedly offered him many employments. Ms. Jenkins is no longer linked politically to Johnson. The two are still associated in a business sense. For many years, Jenkins was an officer and was a stockholder in LBJ and so forth. Recorded records at the Federal Communications say he was the treasurer of the company holding 23 shares of stock and so forth. On December the 4th, less than 2 weeks after he came President Johnson, Jenkins followed a pattern set by Ms. Johnson. Majority stockholder put his stock in a trust held by the Captain National. The trust agreement stipulated it shall terminate when Jenkins shall no longer serve as an assistant to the President of the United States. Thus, the stock reverted to his ownership upon his resignation the night of October the 14th. And I would tell him as strongly and as persuasively and as effectively as I know how to please don't make 5-column headline. It doesn't add anything. He didn't get any check or dividend for making that statement. Didn't help anything. It just reminded everybody that he is still a morals victim and he had some charges against him and that all this. And if he just has to answer the telephone, why, let us call him and talk to him.
Right. That sounds like his wife doing it.
Yes, but maybe he can do something about that. Maybe he can cut off the phone.
Yeah.
You've told him to quit talking to these people and quit seeing them. Just say, now, Bobby didn't listen to me, and if you don't, I can't help you. Just tell him that bluntly.
Right.
Just say, now, I told him to listen to me, and he didn't do it. His wife didn't do it. Dottie didn't do it. And if y'all can't listen to me and can't stay out of the papers, I can't help you.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody can help them when they make that kind of headline with a big picture of Associated Press in the middle of it,
you know,
by that criminal reporter. Because he's not trying to help them, you know.
He sure is. What I'm afraid of, she talked to him once before, you know, and everybody criticized her for doing it. We all laced into her. And guess she did it again.
Well, I don't think you need to lace into her. But I just say to him tomorrow, I'd just sure call him, talk to him on the money matter, and then I'd say to him, I don't want to be messing in your business. I know you can't help a lot of things. I can't my own home. But if I were you, I'd cut off that phone some way.
Yeah.
Because Dottie, I told them to quit giving out interviews. And they've largely talked themselves into this. And if you want to talk yourself into more, you can. But unless you're getting a big dividend, I wouldn't do it.
I'll do it. I mentioned Walter to Troy. And he expressed interest that he wanted to think about it. I told him that what we ought to do is to get him out there in our bank out on the West Coast in Los Angeles. And I thought it'd be the best thing we could do for our bank. And his immediate reaction was interesting. He said, well, maybe we could put him out there with Haskins and Sells, our accounting firm, and have him do a study for a year until he cools off. Said, well, I didn't know that that'd work. Well, we should think about putting him in direct. But I'll keep after him on it.
That didn't sound good, did it?
No, it's not going to be easy, actually, to get the right thing underway for him. But I think we can get Troy to do what we want him.
I think you ought to spend an hour tomorrow with him, tell him to come see you, and I think you ought to tell him that story. Because I think you're in cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think both of them ought to know it. I talked to him the other night, and he's telling me about 3,000 letters he'd received and all that. I think he'll just say, now, we looked over everything. We decided it'd be best to Los Angeles banking firm. We tried it. And they're a little bit shy. Most people are shy. You got to work with us, and we all got to pull together here.
Right.
And we just can't be giving out these interviews.
Right.
Just can't be doing it. Show him this Herald Tribune. Buy you a copy of it.
Yeah.
Hand it to him. Say, no, we don't want to quarrel. Let's don't go home getting mad. But let's just try to cut off the damn phone.
Yeah.
And get somebody hired to answer it.
Yeah.
And I'll pay him. And I got the money here. And here it is. But just get somebody to answer it in this.
Yeah.
Just see who they are before you put them on.
Right.
Because they're going to be Wall Street Journal. Will be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the Washington Star will be there in the afternoon. Everyone that sees this interview will be wanting one of their own.
Sure, it's trouble. Well, he's going away for the weekend, you know.
Well,
like nobody told you.
Well, they'll get him there, though. I'll tell him, unless he knows. He doesn't understand it. He's kind of a hero as a result of
it. Well, he's pretty mixed up.
Did you get any temperature on riding up today?
Yes, sir. He brought it up himself, and
was he a little disappointed?
I think he was shocked and disappointed, much to my surprise. And
I had three or four people notify me that he was ready and willing. Dillon told me that today, and Hodges told me that today, and somebody else said he's perfectly ready and willing if he's offered.
Yeah, but I think he must maybe told his wife or something, and it was a terrible letdown.
What did he say?
Well, he said that he had gotten himself to the point where, despite the fact that it cost him a tremendous amount of money, that he was willing to do it. You felt that Fortis was available, and he was willing to do it, and that was only on the theory that there were really only two people who were acceptable, and that the other person, meaning Fortis, wasn't available for it. But then when you seem now to indicate that there were three other fellas, Eddie Katzenbach and Don, who might be acceptable, and thought that way about it, that he didn't think that he had to make the sacrifice. And I said, well, I didn't get any feeling at all that he had made a decision, that he was just carefully looking over the field and wanted our judgment on ourselves, as well as these three other fellas and anybody else we could think of. But he went on quite a while about that, and quite surprised me, because he was just terribly disappointed. It must have been that he told his wife or something, you know. And I was very surprised.
NBC came in tonight and said that he had been called down to be offered this place.
Oh, well.
So it had been leaked.
Well, either that or just speculation.
Well, I told him that he had been the trusted personnel advisor to several presidents, President Truman. I thought maybe he advised Eisenhower, so I just threw that in. And then I said, Kennedy trusted him a great deal, and I want his judgment, but I haven't offered him anything. As far as I know, he's not ready to receive anything.
Mm-hmm. I asked him whether he got brought up those other matters that we discussed. I asked him whether he knew anything, whether he could figure out any way that reporting that stuff that he handed in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no, that can't be reported. And I told him that...
Want to follow the letter of the law?
No, sir. And he said, it can't be reported. And I told him that Walter had a similar problem, and we could figure out to do that. To report that, he said no. He said the way it had been done in the past is to feed it into these dinners. Everybody does it that way. I let it go at that.
Tell him that's what the way Bob had handled it?
He said everybody handled it then. And I also told him about this relative, you know, of Ethel's.
Yeah.
Said, well, never heard of that. Very surprised to hear it. We talked a lot. He thought that probably Don would not be interested in it. He felt very strongly that that would be Don's reaction. He thought that you might try Nick for 6 months. And he thought that it would probably work out all right. And he said he didn't really think that the young man from, he'd just been elected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Said he didn't think that he really had much potential or was much of a threat. So he said he just thought he was one of these fellas who always took and never gave, and that his personal relations with people were very bad, and that he'd probably get chopped up. I said, the thing that bothers me is that I have a feeling that this fellow's going to try to appear as the knight in shining armor and presenting a, sort of the Democrat Senator Williams, you know. And he'd try to make a position for himself as a Democratic Senator Williams. those fellas